Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Let me tell you what we've got on the podcast for you this week. We're running a regular series called Truth You Can Trust, and we're reading the first part of Mark's Gospel. So if you're interested in the Bible, listen for that reading. We'll also be having a chat with Dr. Luke, Dr. Luke's diaries, thinking about the question that Jesus made about what would you give? A big question, that one. We've also got an item taking us to a very lovely lady called Corrie ten Boom. She lived during the Second World War, suffered a lot, but she's going to teach us something about forgiveness, not in person, but in the account of her story. We'll have our free offer, and we'll look at our life question for this week: is Christianity an elitist religion? So let's move swiftly to the first item. I don't know if you've heard the name Corrie ten Boom before. Possibly not. She was a lady who was born in Amsterdam in the Netherlands on April the 15th in 1892. And she lived and eventually moved to America and died there on April the 15th, 1983. Imagine living and dying on the same day. She was a Dutch Christian. And along with her father and other family members, Corrie helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II. And she wrote a famous book, The Hiding Place. The reason we thought about Corrie this week is she is a great example of how to deal with things that naturally and normally would make us very angry and frustrated. I've been thinking this week about the anger and frustration that people find they're expressing over the life and the political reign of Margaret Thatcher. And they're very angry about what happened and how they were dealt with. Corrie had many reasons to be angry. She lost her brother, who died many years after her, but of spinal tuberculosis. She also lost her two sisters, as in died. Betsy died in 1944 in Ravensbrück concentration camp, and Nolly died in 1953. Her father, he was arrested with the family in 1944, and he died 10 days later in another prison, a German prison. And this dear lady had every reason to be angry about life. But I want to give you a quote. She says this: "Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness." I wonder if you maybe have been infected by the same attitude of anger over circumstances, whether political or personal. Let me read the statement to you again. "Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness." Of course, you can only really forgive in the measure that you experience forgiveness. And the person who knows the truth is free. And the person who knows the forgiveness of God is indeed free indeed, and free to forgive others. My special offer to you this week is a very precious little leaflet. It's precious to me because I wrote it. The title is, "Does God Care?" It starts off like this: "Do you ever wonder why a God of love could allow all the tragedies that occur in the world? Do you feel angry that so many people seem to suffer for no apparent reason?" And I'd like to send this leaflet to you. It's not an exhaustive leaflet, and if you really are interested, I could point you to other books that could maybe explain in more detail answers to the issue, this big issue. Why suffering? Why pain? Does God care? I'll send it to you with a Bible free of charge if you text the words "Does God Care?" to my mobile number 07-747-101-352. I look forward to hearing from you. Here's our question for the week. Isn't it elitist to say that people must be followers of Jesus in order to get into heaven? Valid question. Well, it can certainly sound that way. And unfortunately, some Christians project an air of arrogance and exclusivity in how they live out their faith and then communicate that to others. But authentic Christianity is anything but arrogant or exclusive. Let's try and illustrate that. Imagine two country clubs. The first has a strict set of rules and only allows people in who've earned their membership. They have to accomplish something, obtain superior wisdom, or fulfill a long list of demands and requirements in order to qualify for acceptance. And despite their best efforts, lots of people just won't make the grade and will therefore be excluded. In effect, this is what other religious systems are like, so different from Christianity. The second club throws its doors wide open and says anyone who wants membership is invited inside, rich or poor, black or white, regardless of your ethnic heritage or where you live, we would love to include you. Entry will be based not on your qualifications or efforts, but only on accepting this invitation. See, the reality is, when it comes to Christianity, Jesus already paid for membership. He already purchased access to God. And the matter's left to you to decide. But no one will ever be turned away if they sincerely and humbly seek admittance. So there is that humbling process of admitting where you are, sick in sin, damaged by sin, hurt by sin, wrong before God, confessing and turning from it. Repenting is an old-fashioned Bible word. It means to turn around and come to God and seek admittance, admission that the price is paid by the Lord Jesus' death upon the cross. So let's go back to the analogy. Excuse me. Which country club is being snobbish? Christians aren't being exclusive, they're being inclusive. They're not being haughty, they're being hospitable. They're not pretending to be better or more accomplished than anyone else. Instead, they admit their own weakness and invite others who feel weak or needy to join them in order to find the help that they found through Christ. There was a preacher called D.T. Niles, and he summed up genuine Christianity like this. He said, "We are simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find food." The Lord Jesus said, recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden." The last book in the Bible, Revelation 22:17, says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of water, the water of life, come." Isaiah 55 in the Bible says, "Come to the waters. Buy something that you don't have the money to buy." In other words, it's purchased for you. So is Christianity an elitist religion? No. It is an open door. Jesus actually said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." The Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever believes in him," it's open to all. And I really would pray and trust that you would come. I really would trust and pray that you would take advantage of that offer and come and know the blessing of God's forgiveness. Hi there, thanks for listening to Dr. Luke's Diaries. Our thought for the week is based on Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Let me read it to you. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." The Lord Jesus was a people watcher. I suppose many of us are as well. We like to look at people and we like to observe what they do and how they do it. We may be past judgment in our head, maybe not verbally, and we assume things. Jesus was watching the people coming to the temple, and he saw the rich people coming along and putting their gifts into the offering box. And then along the way comes this poor widow woman. She had nothing. It was obvious from her dress. It was obvious from her, the way she was conducting herself, that she was a poor person, the way she carried herself. I don't know if she was downcast or browbeaten, but here she's a poor widow. The Lord Jesus describes her as that. It says she put in two small copper coins. You would look at that and you would say, the rich, they put in lots. The poor little lady, she only put in two coins. What is that? But the Lord Jesus looks beneath the skin, as he always does. The Lord Jesus sees deeper than just the person and the apparent amount that they put in. He compares what she has left with what she has given. Listen to the words of Jesus. They all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Those rich folk, they went back home, and their home was comfortable, and they'd plenty to eat, and they'd plenty to draw from, and they'd lots of resources, but she gave everything she had. He does remind me, or should I say, the story does remind me of the Lord Jesus himself. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. The Bible is telling us specifically that the Lord Jesus was incredibly rich. Not in the world's terms. He was a poor carpenter. He was brought up in a poor home. He lived in a poor town in Nazareth. He didn't really have much as far as the world had to offer. What does it mean then when it says Jesus was rich? It means that he came from heaven and its wealth, and all that he had was so magnificent. He was the king of eternity. He was the creator of heaven and earth. By him were all things made that were made. Without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the creator of everything. But the Bible says, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He became a man. But more than that, he became a humble man, an ordinary man. But more than that, he went to the death. Well, should I say, first of all, he came to die. But not just death. He didn't die quietly, if there is any such way of dying, or comfortably. He died the death of the cross. He suffered upon the cross and shed his blood and suffered and bled and died because he was bearing God's judgment for our sin. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. This widow reminds me of the Lord Jesus. She gave everything. The Lord Jesus laid down his life that we might live, that we might have eternal life. Can I turn the question round? What about you? What do you give to God? Do you give to God the last bit of your life? Do you give to your God what is left over? Do you decide that you'll think about God when it gets to the end of life? When maybe you think you've done everything else you want to do? Oh, I do trust and pray that you would give God everything. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? There was a famous missionary called Jim Elliot. He died as a young man, one of five, trying to reach Indians in Ecuador. He said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I wonder today, what is it that you're holding on to? Would you turn to Jesus Christ? Would you trust him as your Lord and Saviour? Would you know what it is to be forgiven, to know his blessing in your life? May God bless you this week. Thank you so much for listening. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.